be with you all today and start the week this way. I wanted to do something different for myself this Lent, and I wanted to spend Lent preaching on the Old Testament stories, because we have some great kind of Sunday school, like top 10 Old Testament stories coming up, and we don't really give them a lot of time, you know, in preaching normally, right? So I wanted to do that this Lent, starting with our reading this Sunday, the Adam and Eve story, at least the Adam and Eve and the apple story. Now, probably all of you like have heard it, at least somewhat, or at least somewhat familiar with a version of it, the story of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, the apple, the serpent. You know the main characters, you know what's going on. I want to look a little deeper into it and think about what it can tell us about sin in our own life. Now, before we do that, I just want to say, you know, there's room in the church for people who have a literal understanding of Adam and Eve or a kind of symbolic understanding of Adam and Eve. But we're not, the church has had both of those views for a long time. Not going to get into that today. What I want to concentrate on is the truth in the story as it teaches us about sin or separation from God, things we do to cause separation from God and temptation, because temptation is a theme in our readings today as well. So I want to stop at three points in the story and look at what it can teach us, maybe some things that we just kind of gloss over normally in the story, how it can teach us about temptation and ultimately sin. The first is probably a line that we gloss over, we throw away, we don't really pay much attention to as we read the story. It's the beginning of our story in today's lesson. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. To till it and keep it. That word keep, I don't know what you think of when you think of the word keep. I usually think of like, you're giving me something, I'm going to keep it. Right? In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, that idea of keep is kind of like you would keep your property. Not a way we use it today, but the idea is not just it's yours. You take care of it. You also guard it. You protect it. It's your place to keep safe. And so Adam was given a job by God. It was given work. It's interesting to think, like, work is not a thing that came from fallen creation. Before creation ever fell, God gave Adam work. And it was to till the garden, to tend it, and also to keep it, right? To protect it. Maybe, I'm not saying Adam had fencing he had to work on, but to keep up the property and to protect it. And so we notice in this story, it's kind of an overlooked detail, that Adam is in charge with keeping the grounds and the garden safe. And later in the story, as we read, there is his wife and the serpent is tempting his wife. And there's something we miss. How did the serpent get in the garden? And why is the serpent alone with Eve, if Adam's job is to protect it and keep it? Well, here's the answer. Adam probably got a little lazy. I mean, you know, I'm just saying he wouldn't be the first guy that got a little lazy, but Adam got a little lazy. His job was to keep the garden safe. And so I want to look at us. Temptation starts in our lives when we get a little lazy with our obligations or our callings or our disciplines, whatever we want to, however we want to say it, when we get a little lazy in our duties is when temptation begins. So if the story goes, the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to till it and keep it, and he did, we would have the shortest Bible ever, right? It would fit on the front page of this. But because he didn't, it opened the door for people in his family to be tempted. And so I just want to say temptation, the kind of the door opens, the door cracks when we get a little lazy in our obligations or disciplines, when we get a little lazy in our prayers or lazy in our reading of scripture or lazy in our worship and our devotions, when we get lazy in our relationship with God, that's when temptation opens the door. When we get lazy in our relationships at home, that's when temptation opens the door, right? Adam was given a task, and I just want to make a comment here to fathers who are listening. It is a very important task, fathers and grandfathers. God gives us a calling to keep our families, right? We are responsible for a spiritual protection of our families. It's not to say that we do it alone, but that's a calling we have. And when we get lazy in it, temptation not only opens the door in our life, but it opens the door for the people we love. And that's exactly what we see. Adam's laziness doesn't mean the serpent goes right to Adam. The serpent goes to his wife. Now, this is not to say that Eve isn't capable or competent. I don't want you to hear that story. But it just means, you know this if you're married, there are some things in life that are better faced together than alone. Is that fair to say? There are some things in life that are better faced together than alone. There are some challenges, some hardships, some trials that are better faced together than alone. And Eve is facing the serpent alone because Adam got lazy. And so a reminder to us that are fathers and a reminder to all of us, right? When we get lazy in our obligations, we get lazy in our relationship with God, we get lazy in our relationship with our family, it opens the door not only for us, but for the people we love, for temptation. And so that's the first thing I want us to notice. The second thing is now Eve and the serpent are together. Adam's not there yet. Who knows what he's doing? And the serpent is the second part. Once the door is open, the serpent starts with deception. The serpent starts with deception, always trying to say, like, what did God tell you? And Eve knows what God said. And he's like, no, that wasn't right. You didn't hear it right, or you're not understanding it right, or don't trust God. His motivations aren't good. Right? The serpent works through deception. If you want to know what is the only thing the serpent, the devil, can do to you, it is attempt to deceive you. You can go to HEB today and walk through the bakery, and the devil will not attack you in the pastries, right? He won't attack you at a restaurant. The devil is not going to break into your house, right? He's not going to do that because God doesn't allow it. The only thing he is allowed to do to you and I is to attempt to deceive us. That is how temptation works. It always starts with a lie. And you might ask, why does God allow that? It's a good question. It's because God's given us the one thing to resist that, the truth. So God feels we have what we need to defend against that temptation. The temptations that we're not strong enough to defend against, God doesn't allow to come to us. But he knows we have what we need to defend against that one. Now, whether we make use of it, that's up to us. But God has given us the truth to defend against deception. And we see that in our gospel story, when the devil tries to tempt Jesus, at every turn, Jesus stands on the truth. He quotes something from scripture, whether from the Torah or something from the scripture. And we see that in throughout scripture. The truth is the antidote to temptation. Now, you and I, we don't know the scriptures like Jesus knows the scriptures, but it is not impossible for us to know the scriptures. It's not impossible for us to know the truth. So that when we get fed 1,000 lies, like we do today, and we don't know what to believe, when we get fed 1,000 lies about not only what's going on outside in the world, but what it means for us about our worth and our identity and about who we are and who we should be and about what we should aspire to and what we should value and what we should, how we should raise our children and how we should act towards our spouses and all the things that we get without even thinking about it through our phones, through everything we consume, that we should know the truth so we can defend against the lies. There are so many people today who say something like this to me. I just don't know what to believe. I don't know what's true. God gave us the truth in his holy word. It's confusing, it's challenging, it's difficult, it's all those things, but it is the truth. And so the way we stand against temptation is by knowing the truth. So that's the second thing. Now here's the third thing. Eve knew the truth, and she still ate the apple because she wanted to. I mean, that's the story. She wanted to because there was something in the lie that just hooked her. And it was when the serpent said this, you won't die. God told her they would die if they ate from the tree. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the tree of good and evil isn't a tree of knowledge, like intellect, it in the garden. That's not how it's understood in Genesis. It's not understood as like, if you eat this tree, you'll know a bunch of stuff. That's not what it is. It's if you eat this tree, you can be like God and decide good and evil. That's a very different thing. Deciding good and evil is not our place, right? God determines good and evil. Discerning good and evil is our place. Deciding is not. And Eve wants the power like God to choose what would be good and what would be evil. It's her pride. And so many times our pride leads us into situations where we want to believe the lie more than the truth. I don't know if it happens to you, it happens to me, where my pride leads me into a place where I says, I know what God says, but I really want to do this because it would be good for me. I really want to do this because I don't know. I don't think God really knows what's best for me here. Eve's doing the same thing. So you and I, despite, you know, maybe fulfilling our obligations, maybe knowing the truth, we still fall. We still fall like Eve did. And then we see the third thing the story tells us is what comes after we disobey God, we create that separation is shame. And you see Adam and Eve immediately after they eat the apple, they start noticing like, hey, we're naked. Now, like the breeze didn't clue them in, but they were just like, hey, we're naked. I mean, remember, this is a story, right? That's why I say we can take it a number of ways, but they recognize something about themselves that 5 minutes ago was fine. And now they're like, no, we're not good. We've got to do something. And then when God comes, we don't have this in our reading, but it's right after when God comes to talk to them in the garden, they hide from him because they're ashamed. I don't know how many times I've had a version of this conversation with someone who's struggling with something hard in their life, a heartbreak, a divorce, something painful, and they don't want to be around church. They don't want to be around people because they're ashamed. And it is the one place God is calling us to be when we're broken and when we've fallen away is in his presence to be restored. But shame pushes us away. And that really is the problem with sin is that shame follows it and it never comes from God. God doesn't give us shame. Sometimes conscience, right? Those feelings of conscience of right and wrong, that I believe is truly the Holy Spirit working in us. But after we've done something and we feel less than or worthless or like the world's biggest disappointment or like we will mess everything up or that we're not good to anybody, right? All those kind of thoughts that might run through our head, right? Those don't come from God. That shame comes from another place. And there is nothing more than that God wants is for us to just come in his presence, acknowledge that we messed up and seek his mercy to be restored because that is what he longs for. Now, if we did not have Jesus, this story would end with disobedience and it would kind of be a sad ending. I don't know if you ever watch a movie and the ending is just completely unsatisfying and makes you feel like, I don't know, you just feel like, what did I just watch? Why did I spend 2 hours of my time watching that to make me feel worse about myself when it was over, worse about life? A movie with a hard ending like that. That's what the scripture would be if it wasn't for Jesus. But what Jesus does is he comes and by the cross brings mercy. to take away guilt and shame and all the other things we carry with us, so that when we do fall, because let's admit, even if we try our best to keep our obligations and we study our hardest to know the truth, you and I are not perfect people, we still will fall. There's grace and there's mercy and healing and restoration and renewal. And that's what Jesus longs for. So maybe we're somewhere in those three places today. Maybe Lent is a good time for us to think about our obligations or what God's called us to, like Adam, the roles we have in our life that come from God and how we don't get lazy in them. You know, maybe there are times when I've needed a little pep talk, when I've gotten a little lazy in some of my calling. So maybe we need to hear that today. Or maybe Lent's a good time to recommit to the truth, studying the truth in some way, shape, or form. There's people doing Bible studies, Bible recap. There's so many ways you can learn the scriptures, podcasts, and ways you can listen. Maybe it's a day we say, you know what? I spend a lot of my time listening to stuff. I don't know that I'm learning the truth. I'm just hearing things. So it might be a good reminder of a time to think about what are we doing to make sure we know the truth so we can stand against the lies. And then maybe we're just someone who's got carrying a bit of shame today, like we all do when we fall away. And we needed a reminder that there is mercy. Even when we fall, there's mercy through the cross of the Lord Jesus. Wherever we might be, I hope this story can give us something that we might be able to think about our obligations, about the truth, or about the grace and mercy of the cross. Because no matter what, no matter where we are in it, thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ, who because of him, we're not bound, even when we do fall, to be cast out of God's presence, but there's always healing and renewal through him. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.